Someone must be willing to come up. It is really straightforward. You won't make a fool of yourself. And there are some great prizes, including a cross-stitch fridge magnets. They're rare. Brilliant. What's your name? Martin, come on down. Pretty straightforward, Martin. Thank you for volunteering. These could be yours for volunteering. So, as I say, we have a rare cross-stitch fridge magnet, a packet of fruit pastels, and a Jelly Belly air freshener. Okay?
Well, we've got one of them.
All you've got to do is tell me which of these values... So we've rounded it up a little bit. How much do you think these are worth collectively? So is it 5 pence, £5, or 5 gold bars? Now, I know the cross-stitch fridge magnets are rare, but think carefully. Which one are you going to go for?
£5.
Correct. £5. Let's have a round of applause for Martin. Brilliant. They are yours. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Do you need me anymore?
I don't need you anymore. There's no more prizes, I'm afraid. No. No speedboats or anything fancy like that, I'm afraid. But a question for you all to consider. What would be the cost of eternal life and glory? What is its value? Because they're not necessarily the same. We'll see both explained, I think, in today's passage. And we'll see there is a cost. If you want eternal life and glory, there is a cost. But we'll also see that the value of what you get far outweighs any cost we bear. So just a quick recap. I know you've been going through these verses in Mark's Gospel. Quick recap. Jesus is travelling from Bethsaida with his disciples, and they've gone to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, there was a conversation. Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? Peter declares, "You are the Christ." Finally, they've recognised who Jesus really is. Now, if you didn't know the passage, if you hadn't read ahead, you might expect the next section would be one where there's lots of worship and lots of celebrating. The Christ, the Messiah, has finally arrived. It is a momentous occasion, something Jews have been waiting for centuries. This is only going to happen once, and here he is. Maybe you might even expect celebrations on a par with our recent Platinum Jubilee. But what we read is very different. Instead, we read that Jesus explains the only way to eternal life and glory is through rejection and suffering. No worship, no celebrating. The disciples have correctly identified Jesus is the Christ. I might use Christ, I might use Messiah, they're the same thing. But Jesus immediately wants to explain to them what that actually means. He will be rejected and suffer. The chosen people of God, the ones who should be celebrating his arrival, will reject and kill their Messiah. He does tell them that will not be the end. He will be raised from the dead. And we're told he said that plainly. There's no misunderstanding. No confusion. The disciples should understand clearly exactly what Jesus was saying. But then we look at the end of the passage, and Jesus also says this: when he, Son of Man, or Jesus, comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And the reading went on slightly, and we know straight after the passage we're looking at, Jesus also says the kingdom of God will come with power, and then the next incident recorded is the transfiguration of Jesus. So the disciples are going to hear what Jesus has to teach them, but he also wants them to see there is a future glory. Now, if they weren't persuaded by what he said, seeing the transfiguration surely convinced them. Jesus will know eternal life and glory, but he has to get there via the cross. Jesus said he must suffer many things and be rejected. He must be killed. The only way to get to that eternal life and glory is through rejection and suffering. And then we see Peter's emotional and instinctive response. The Jews were expecting a Messiah, a warrior king greater than David, who would bring about the greatest period in Israel's history. And think about those Jews of Jesus' generation. They're waiting for a Messiah, but they were also occupied by the Romans. Surely, if the Christ arrived in their generation, he would overthrow the Romans and make Israel great. A Christ who would know glory and victory. A Christ who would be celebrated and worshipped. Their expectation was a Messiah on a throne, not a Messiah on a cross. So Peter's expectation did not match what Jesus was saying. He had already declared Jesus is the Christ. He had an intellectual understanding, but that was not enough. He did not fully understand what that meant. And so I think that partly explains Peter's reaction. And we might understand why he's shocked by what Jesus was saying, but don't miss the absolute arrogance of his response to Jesus. He's just proclaimed Jesus is the Christ. And then he takes him aside and rebukes him like a naughty child. Let's try and get ourselves in what that actually means. Imagine you're in a lift, shopping centre, hotel, somewhere in a lift, and then this elderly woman gets in the lift who really looks like the Queen. And you mention to her the similarity, and she turns around and says she is in fact the Queen. You might initially be gobsmacked and wonder why there's no security, all those things. But then you ask her, what is it like to be the Queen? And rather than luxury, servants, exotic travel, which is what most of us would probably expect, she tells you it's hard work, sacrifice, and she has very little time for herself. Would you really tell her off? Would you really berate her for not being queen the way you think she should be? Would you really demand she changes her ways and starts being a proper queen? I hope not. You might get yourselves into trouble. But that is what Peter is doing to Jesus. But not just an earthly queen, he's rebuking the Son of God, the Word of God made flesh, the one through whom all things were made, the Christ. Peter wanted Jesus to be the Saviour he wanted, not the one God had sent, not the Saviour he really needed. And we're probably sitting there thinking, well, that's fine, but we wouldn't do that. We would not, in a million years, have the wrong expectation of Jesus. Well, how often have you heard people say things like these? Jesus is the original socialist. Jesus would definitely be an eco-warrior. My Jesus would or wouldn't. Or the Jesus I know would or wouldn't. And then insert the speaker's favourite cause or hobby horse. I've heard that many times. But the challenge for us is, how often have we used phrases like those? How often have we tried to make Jesus in our own image? Tried to make Jesus a safe Jesus. One who makes us comfortable. But like Peter, we don't get to mould Jesus into the Saviour we want him to be. We should take very seriously Jesus' response to Peter. If we think like that, we're thinking like Satan and the world. Not thinking about the things of God. Being arrogant, thinking we know better than God. And we read there, the way Jesus spoke to Peter, he wanted to make sure the other disciples could hear. They needed to know this truth as well. And we need to hear it. Jesus is the Christ. His way is God's way. There is no better way. No other way to eternal life. The only way to eternal life and glory is through rejection and suffering. Jesus has more to say, so he calls the crowd to him. He wants them all to know God's way is this way. Rejection and suffering. That's the way to glory and eternal life. It is via the cross. Crucifixion, the ultimate in rejection and suffering. And Jesus says to the crowd, this is where I have to go. If you want to be my followers, you will have to go the same way. To take up our cross is to bear the cost of following Jesus. It is to bear the rejection and mockery we face for what we believe. It is to bear suffering and persecution for being a Christian. To be a willing sacrifice, willing to give up living for ourselves and to live for God and others instead. So we should expect that some of our family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours will reject us once they know we're Christians and we share what we believe. We should expect to be excluded from some social groups because we identify with Jesus. We should expect that our faith might limit our opportunities at work. We should expect some people want to silence us when we proclaim the gospel and stand for truth. We see that every day when we go into schools with cross-teach. I've been with cross-teach 13 years now, and the trend I've seen is open hostility to the gospel, to Christian ethics, and to Christians in general is increasing. It is getting harder and harder to openly be a Christian without facing some opposition and hostility. I think for Christians in the UK at the moment, it's quite comfortable. We don't face much persecution. Most of our rejection and suffering is social. Don't get me wrong, that's not that it's easy, but it's mostly of one type. We don't face the physical suffering that some of our brothers and sisters around the world face. We don't run the risk of imprisonment, torture, or execution. Well, I can tell you, the evidence we see in schools is that there is a trajectory, and it suggests that things are going to get harder for us here in the UK to openly be Christians. How are you going to respond if things get harder than they are now? Does it sound too costly to take up your cross? Does it sound too costly to forfeit your life? Where would we be if Jesus had decided the cost was too high? If he had avoided the cross? Eternal life and glory are on offer, but that may seem costly to us. But Jesus bore a far higher cost. The eternal creator, the promised Messiah, rejected by his chosen people. The suffering of execution by crucifixion. Separated from God the Father for the first time in all eternity. But God's word tells us that he bore that cost because he loves us. Because he loves us and wants us to be reconciled to him even while we were his enemies. To come to him, to know God, to receive eternal life and share his glory. So rather than worry about the cost, we should focus on the value of what Jesus gives us. Let's not forget what is at stake, eternal life and glory. So rejection and sacrifice doesn't sound very attractive, does it? It sounds costly, but it's worth it. Jesus gave far more than we can ever be expected to sacrifice and suffered more than we ever could. Said at the beginning about the cost of eternal life and glory, but also the value, and they're different. The value of eternal life and glory is priceless. It was secured by the sacrifice of the Son of God. It is worth more than every treasure the world has to offer. Even if you own the whole world, that would not be enough to buy eternal life and glory. So the cost may seem high, but the value is even higher. So why take up your cross and follow Jesus? Because it's worth it. Because that's the way to the greatest riches you can ever have. To be reconciled to Jesus, to know God, to be with him for eternity, and to share in his glory. Because one day he will return in glory. And it will be obvious. And he will reign as king forever. So we know between that time with Peter and the disciples and his future time to come, we know he went to the cross. He bore that rejection and suffering that he talked about. And we also know that will lead him to future glory. But also by going there, he made it possible for us to go with him. But we have a choice to make. That's kind of where the passage ends. Jesus says there is a choice for each of us to make. So another game, how good are you at making choices? Would you rather? So two options. I'll read them out and then give, just by a show of hands, which one would you choose if you could only choose one of these? So chocolate or cheese? If I had them in front of you and I said you can only have one of these, who's going to go for chocolate? Ooh, who's going to go for cheese? Oh, cheese was a winner, that's unusual. In the schools it's nearly always chocolate. Summer or winter? We're enjoying a bit of a heat wave at the moment. Who likes summer? Who prefers winter? Summer that time. Puppies or kittens? Who's going to go for kittens? Puppies? Oh, I think puppies may have just edged it. Pretty good. But what about these choices? The riches of this world or eternal life? Celebrity status and the world's glory or glory with Jesus. Jesus tells us that is the choice. You can either be rejected by the world or rejected by Jesus. You can either sacrifice the things of this world or sacrifice eternal life. Will you share in glory with Jesus or not? If you want the answer to be yes, then you have to be prepared to go the way of rejection and suffering. You need to be ready to take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you're ashamed of Jesus and the gospel in this life, he will be ashamed of you when he returns. If you decide rejection and suffering is too high a cost to bear, you will miss out on eternal life and glory. So two messages really for two groups here. If you are a Christian, will you recommit today to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, no matter what the cost? Will you live a life where you're never ashamed of Jesus and the gospel? This is what Jesus is calling to you. Brothers and sisters, let's stay strong, stand firm, let's keep going. But if you're not a Christian, will you say yes to the call of Jesus to follow him? It will be a life where you will experience rejection and suffering. But it's a life also where you have to die to self. There is a cost, but it is the greatest life you can have. This is the way to be reconciled to God, to know God personally and intimately. And it is also the way to eternal life with Jesus, the way to share in the glory of Jesus. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't leave it too late. When Jesus returns, he tells us there will be no more second chances. Today is the day. So rather than count the cost of following Jesus, let's keep our eyes fixed on the value of eternal life and glory. Keep our eyes fixed on our great Saviour, Jesus. The way to have Jesus and all that he gives is to follow him. To follow him through rejection and suffering to glory and eternal life. Let me pray for us to that end. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came. That Jesus came into the world willingly and went to the cross willingly. Suffering, rejected, because you love us. Lord, pray for all those here who put their trust in Jesus. Lord, would you strengthen them by your Spirit? When those challenges come, when life gets hard, would you give them the confidence and the courage they need to stand firm? Would all of us who declare the name of Jesus as Lord be willing to face rejection and suffering for his glory, for his sake? And all for those here who do not yet know Jesus, who've had to listen to the cost they would bear to follow him, by your Spirit, would you open their eyes to the truth of who Jesus is? Help them to understand there is more at stake here. The cost may be high, but the value is far greater. Lord, would you bring them to yourself for your glory?